Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Now, Paul always starts off this way, and these greetings, you know, we've talked about this before. These greetings are more than just empty words or a way to start things out. Paul lets you understand, and this is the vein of his thinking and his approach always, that he's not there according to his own will. This really lines up exactly, doesn't it? You can see what Paul emphasized every time. Like in Galatians 1, when he said about the gospel, he received it by revelation of Christ. No man taught it to him. He didn't learn it from any man. He didn't go to any school for it. He received it by revelation of Jesus. And he was called to be an apostle not by men, not by a church, not by a bunch of different people. He was called by God. And this is what he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, not by my will. And this lines up exactly with the whole pattern, doesn't it? Not by a husband's will or a man's idea, you know, but by the power of God. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, compare this to what we have just learned in Galatians. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God's purpose in election is according to the Spirit, not the flesh. The flesh is rejected. Think of all the things that Paul said in Galatians. Have you started out with the Spirit, now to turn back to the flesh? Why would you want to be enslaved again by those weak and beggarly, miserable elements? You know? We have not been blessed according to the flesh. This is not the place where things work out. God gives us what we need here. But remember, every one of us that are Christian, we have a goal. There's a goal to our faith, like it says in 1 Peter 1. There's a goal to our faith, and it's beyond this world. We have been blessed, but it's in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's where our blessing is, and that's where our focus is. It is an eternal gospel. It's not just about this life. It's not about what you can get here or how happy you are here. Keep that in mind as we go through the rest of this, all right? He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, if we were talking Calvinism, and Calvinism loved using this, you know, they might actually have a point where if it just said, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. But that's not what it says, is it? He chose us in him, Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in other words, he chose mankind to be held holy and is blameless in his sight through who? Christ, not Adam. Now that it compares exactly what he says before, right? Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For, that's a continuation, that word, for. For, he chose us in him to before the creation of the world to be held holy and blameless in his sight. That's the predestination. It's in Christ. Us is mankind. Us is mankind. Now, us becomes all those who have the Holy Ghost, but it starts out as mankind. Because Jesus died for who? Certain people? Just certain people who were predestined? Certain people who are elect, where God found favoritism for whatever reason? No. Jesus died for all men. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever. Well, we are whosoever, right? It's us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless, and aside. In other words, the point is, he chose mankind to be justified through Christ, not Adam. Right? In love, now you're going to notice that this says the exact same thing in different words. It's like a what we would call a doublet. A doublet is something that's saying the same thing two different ways. It's either comparing or it's contrasting. But it's always reaching the same point in two different ways. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Now notice how that's saying the same thing. He predestined mankind to be adopted into Christ. In other words, out of Adam. Before the foundation of the world. That's the predestination. He never intended on justifying mankind through Adam. Adam's a transition. Adam was never the final product. Adam was never the point. Adam's only a picture. It was always God's plan before the creation of the world to justify mankind through Christ. It was always God's plan to adopt us as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. Now, there's a clarity there, isn't there, as to what the predestination is. God's purpose in election. His election is according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, redeemed out of Adam, right? The forgiveness of sins, forgiven of Adam's sin, right? In accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. And he's made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Which he purposed in Christ. Hear the word. Which he purposed in Christ. When was that purpose? That was before the foundation of the world. Can y'all see that context? How many of you see that context? He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. What was the mystery? That he would justify mankind through Christ. That's the mystery of his will. And that was a mystery for how long? From the creation of the world. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So when did he purpose it in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. To be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. In other words, he always had a time set aside when it would be put into effect, but he purposed it when? From the foundation of the world. So to be put in effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Can everybody see that? Christ was always the pivot. He was always the focal point. He was always the point. From the foundation of the world, God's plan to reconcile the physical back to the spiritual was always through Christ, not Adam. Adam was never the finished product. So you can see how us becomes we who receive it. Us of mankind are we who, remember, it's offered to all men. Jesus purposed this for mankind in general, not individuals. There's not a single person in here that from the foundation of the world will you find any place in Scripture where it says that God purposed you as an individual from the foundation of the world for anything. It was always his purpose to justify mankind, us, through Christ. And here it makes it even more clear. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now remember, that purpose is of old, that purpose for the foundation of the world. In him we were also chosen. Chosen is when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's when you're chosen as an individual. You were of mankind, which is having been predestined according to his plan, but in him you, as an individual, were also chosen. In other words, what we're saying here is that all men were predestined. Mankind, in general, is predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. But you, as an individual, are chosen. That's where your individual thing comes in. And when does that happen? We're going to see. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. See, we who are the first to hope in Christ, we're not just talking about the apostles here, as some people have thought. And we're not just talking about the Christians of the first church, as some people, you know, try to ascertain that, you know, that being the case. This is talking about all of those who have a part in the first resurrection. And you're going to see this clearly in the context as we go on. We who are the first to hope in his will, right, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ. Now, some people may think that we the apostles were the first for the praise of his glory, and then you were added. No, he's trying to tell them that you also are a part of that first fruits. Listen to what he's saying. Listen how he says it. In order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In other words, you were added to us. So what's the real separation that he's making here? It's between Jew and Gentile, huh? That's the physical separation Paul is making. We were the first to hope in Christ, and you also were included, right? When? When you heard the word of truth. That's when you're chosen. But can you see the deeper thing that we are all the first according to the Spirit who have a part in the first? Because the comparison, and this gets pretty deep, guys, and follow me, the comparison to that first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles is very much the same as the picture of those of the first fruits and those at the end. Right? There's two resurrections. It's actually considered one resurrection, isn't it, in the millennium. At Jesus' coming is the first fruits, and at the great white throne judgment is the major, the whole loaf. The first fruits and then the whole harvest, right? Well, the Jews were, you know, the Jews being redeemed for the glory of his grace is a picture of those first fruits and then the whole harvest. I want you to see a deeper, be aware of a deeper layer here, okay? And so also, you were included in Christ. When? When were you included in Christ? From the foundation of the world? No. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. See? Can you see that the mark receiving the Holy Spirit, that deposit of your faith, that deposit from God, that seal of God of your faith, that's when you're chosen. Go back up there. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him. So all mankind is predestined. That's the purpose of mankind. But only those who receive him are chosen. When were they chosen? Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. When's that redemption? The resurrection of the dead. Can everybody see this? Now, this is predestination made clear. That God's purpose in election is according to the Spirit, not the flesh. This is why we know that earlier here, when he was talking about we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ, you Ephesians. What's the difference between the Ephesians and we, Paul is talking about? Physically, it's Jew and Gentile, right? But remember, this whole point leaves... having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glorious grace. And what is that? That's the first resurrection, isn't it? Are the Ephesians included in that? Yes. So truly, the first fruits is not just the example Paul gave. First we Jews who believed, and then you Ephesians who are added as well. His point here is based upon that figure, but it's much larger. Because we are all of those who are the first to hope in Christ. Can y'all see that? Because we have a part in the first resurrection, whether Jew or Gentile. Because the truth is, according to this, predestination of mankind, not just Jews, we are all what? We are all predestined. And we of the first resurrection are truly for the praise of his glorious grace as the first fruits from the whole world. Paul uses the example of Jew and Gentile here. Jews, you know, the Jews who were first to believe and then the Gentile believers of the Ephesians as an example. But remember, there's no fleshly lines here. So see through that to the true point. Can everybody see that? Can everybody see that? Praise God. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering my prayers. Now, we're going to go along here and we're going to find out that what we said, what we've established here in the first chapter, and I was very careful to bring this point out now so that you won't miss it when we start talking about it later. Because Paul refers to this point later that I just brought out about what the true first fruits are. Because God's plan is to make one new man, Jew and Gentile, and this is where he discusses it, right here in chapter 2. So let me finish and we'll get to that. And I want you to see it, how it works. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Now you see the separation. How many of you see the separation clearly now between that he has chose us in him before the creation of the world, the general mankind, now to the us who are chosen because we received him? Listen what it says. I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, the resurrection, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. You see that distinction? You see the distinction between the us in chapter 1 and those who are chosen in the second part of chapter 1 here? All men are predestined. Those of us who receive him are chosen. And you really got to catch that. It says, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. We have a complete context. We start out being blessed in the heavenly realms, and now we have it demonstrated how we are blessed through Christ in the heavenly realms. He's seated at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given. Remember, our blessing is spiritual. Our blessing isn't just because we were Jews and we get to go first, and then you Gentiles get to come. Our blessing is about those who are of the first fruits of the Spirit, right? Who will rule and reign with Christ. Because as Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, we are seated there with Him through faith, right? And I said seated on purpose. We are seated. It's an old expression. We are seated. In other words, we have been asked to sit there. Right? We have been asked to sit there. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And why is it telling you this part? That God has placed all things under His feet, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. Because remember, God's purpose, back here in the earlier, right? In order that we who are the... it says, in Him we were also chosen. Wait. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now compare it with what we just read. All right? And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is what God chose to reconcile us to Him. To reconcile all things of the physical back to the spiritual, from which it came, but in a different way. And I want y'all to keep that in mind. So as for you, and He's speaking specifically to the Ephesians here, which can be specifically for every Gentile, which can be specifically for every person. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, what does this tell you? This is telling you something that you may have missed. It's confirming something I told you earlier. Yeah, we get the idea that, you know, all of us were sinners. All of us lived among those at one time gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. We've all did that. We all followed its desires and thoughts, and like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But He's telling you, see, the thing you might be missing is that this is the us He began talking about. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. And that's in spite of the fact that we were by nature's enemies. And this is confirmed elsewhere in Scripture, isn't it? Like in Romans 5, we were all His enemies by nature. Jesus died for us while we were yet His enemies. That's the us it starts out with, isn't it? The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us lived among them at one time. We used to be all of that us, didn't we? All members of that us, weren't we? Following that sinful nature's desires, and like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And that's what's offered to all men. But not all men receive it, do they? Not all men become chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, we who are the first fruits are to what? Rule and reign with Him. Right? In order that in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created for Christ. Now that's all of mankind. That's what mankind was created for. We are God's workmanship, created for Christ. Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God had a plan for mankind. But only those of mankind who receive what God has offered will continue in that plan. But the plan was always for mankind in general, wasn't it? How many of you can see this clarity? Now, Paul has laid a foundation for what we get into next. And I'm just going to give you a preview of what we're going to be talking about next time when we finish chapter 2. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. In other words, you Gentiles who are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves Jews. That done by the body in the hands of men. Remember, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing to God. It's not by the flesh. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ and excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now, this is the point. What were you brought near to? A physical joining with Israel or a spiritual Israel? Remember, you're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. He has called you out of Adam and into Christ. So if you're now included in citizenship with Israel, we're not talking about the Israel that's below and those who call themselves the circumcision. We're talking about an Israel that is above and free. So God's plan to make one new man, for he himself is our peace, he has made the two one, and he's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So you see, the flow of this whole book is about circumcision and uncircumcision meaning nothing. That it's according to the heart that we are counted. That we reign in the heavenly realms. That the Israel of God is above and beyond. So he chose that for those who appeared to be chosen and those who seemed to be cast away, he chose for them to be truly chosen. You know, you see what I'm saying? He chose to make us one. In other words, he chose that there be no more distinctive barriers between us, no more fleshly barriers. Because those fleshly barriers, you know, it is, flesh itself is a barrier. And that flesh is between you and God. And that's why that flesh has to die. And through the law, he's put the flesh to death, hasn't it? So therefore, he has abolished in his flesh the law with its commandments. Because flesh, the law passes away when all flesh is judged under it and destroyed. The barrier is removed. Exactly, the veil was rent from the top down. That's what makes us one, Jew and Gentile, is that now we're all of the Spirit. It's not like he took a Jew and a Gentile and put them together. It's he removed the obstacle that made them different. There's no more fleshly barrier. And you've got to translate this to understand that the barrier where your body is flesh and your spirit is spirit, he's going to change the nature of that. Your body will no longer be flesh, it will be spirit. He's removed the barrier. Your body will become glorified of spiritual stuff. Your body will become spirit. You see the point? It's not just joining a Jew and a Gentile together. The real meaning is joining body and spirit together as spirit. One new man. In other words, Jesus reconciling the physical back to the spiritual. This is God's purpose and always has been. This is the predestination. And you have been chosen to take a part in it once you have received what is offered. And the Holy Ghost is a guarantee. A guarantee that this body will be redeemed from the physical into the spiritual, from death into life. Changed. Get it? Transformed. And we're going to talk about that in detail tomorrow, but I just wanted to give you a little preview of what's coming to see the depths of where God is taking us here from the letter to the Ephesians. It's a good place to stop.